with codes 12-2980, 213 North 6 Northwest. Interview is Milton J. Carpenter.
Available for them in their area. And my father's shop was located there in what they call, but in that big vacant place there next to where a theater was, where Paramount Theater was, that's where his shop was, 221. And then there was a black barber shop over there where she works in there now. But that movie palace. They are all of their customers, of course, were white. And then I knew some black barbers who had shops in the university for the same reason. Of course, when the electric races and all of those things came into being, and the men did not have to go to the barbershop every morning before they went to their banks or their businesses, then the black barbershops sort of that type. By that time, but that was the way he made his living. And of course, in those days, we patronized white businesses because they were his customers. But now, on the side of Vinegar Hill, there were stores like barbershop, restaurant, drugstore, doctor's offices, and I don't know if you know, do you know George Ferguson?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, you know his father lived there.
Yes, ma'am. We talked to him about it.
Yes, he was a very good one to talk with. And my children's father was a dentist. He had an office there in the building that belonged to the Coast. I think he was the one that asked me about the Coast.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you get in touch with Ms. McCullough?
Yes, I did.
Good. I was sort of in a daze when you called me, because I, as I told you, I had just gotten back from the hospital, and it takes me about a week or 10 days to sort of get back to normal. What sort of questions did you want to ask?
Oh, well, really, what you were saying was very good. Tell me, the type of living that your father, you know, made for you working, you know, as a barber.
Oh, it was very good, because he had very, well, he even had wealthy customers. He had one man who was very eccentric. He did not like to handle money that had been handled by other people. He didn't want anything used by him that had been used by other people. If he knew it, he lived in Keswick. And whenever he needed a haircut, he paid my father for the full day and sent his coachman up to get him and bring him down to do whatever he wanted done. And he was the only eccentric one that he had. But he, the men who owned the businesses in the area from about 3rd and Main up to 5th and Main, I don't think any of them are in business now. They operated such things as a confectionery store and clothing stores. There where the Charlottesville Hardware is, those people were living, the people who originally owned that business were living in my father's time. And all along Main Street, the big department stores, many of which were owned and operated by Jews. But they were his, and then there were grocers, almost any kind of business he could think of that was quite owned. But we thought we had a very good living when we were coming along. Partly because we thought we had such a good father, which we did.
What was his name? Don't mind me asking.
Why?
How would the let's say black barbershops, let's say men who own black barbershops for blacks, because like I understand, like, you know, integration was a big thing, segregation was a big thing back then, you know, like,
yeah.
How would their living compare to, let's say, the living of your father?
Well, as I remember, when we were children, we all seemed to have lived just about alike. The children of the father, whose father's own barbershops. But do you know Florine Kayley? Her father owned a black barbershop in that area. She has recently retired as a nurse and moved back home from Washington. She lives on Dice Street. I don't know what her number is. I can look and see. She's listed in the telephone. Played together, visited each other, and such as that. So that's what makes me think that their style of living is about the same as ours. I don't know if any of them owned that property. I don't know whose property belonged to. I don't know if the barbershops were rented like my father or brother. They owned 602 Dice Street.
Grab this one. Oh, I'm going to take this, right?
So class lines weren't that prominent?
No. As one young man who came here after I was grown, he had practiced medicine, and he said that this was the first place that he had ever been, that cooks and physicians and dentists and everybody seemed all in equality, but that is the way we grew up. We didn't have tight class. Of course, most of the blacks who were not in business for themselves were employed at the university or by some wealthy persons. And their standards of living were set by their employers. Of course, if the employers might have had something that cost $1,000 and the employee had something that only cost a few, what they still had that same lifestyle. And one of the stores that flourished on the side of Vinegar Hill was the second-hand store. And they handled the clothes that students had worn for a while and no longer wanted to wear, but they were still very good and in style. And the people who patronized that store therefore dressed well.
Did you ever actually, oh, you didn't turn it off, but we heard talk of, let's say, a path in Vinegar Hill that so like divided the halves from the halves, not the half. Do you remember anything
about that? Really don't. It probably was there, but it's something that I was not aware of.
Did you visit Vinegar Hill that much? Mm-hmm. Did you visit Vinegar Hill that much?
Well, that was the way you got from me. Here to the business section was to go through Vinegar Hill, so therefore I went through there a lot. I didn't know any, I don't recall anybody right now who lived in that area who had children that I would have visited. But now Mr. Inge's grandmother and grandfather had one of the finest boarding houses in town, and anybody who really considered himself anybody who came to Charlottesville, who, of course, there were no black hotels. they catered to, well, anybody. I don't think there were any lines that they drew either.
Do you think that's changed now?
What?
The class lines?
Well, you see, I was never conscious of class lines when I was growing up. We didn't have but one school, and you were friendly with everybody who was there. We had a number of churches, but I don't think they came into being because of class lines. That they were just the type of thing that had these misunderstandings that they still have in Baptist churches, you know, and we split. But I'm not aware. I really can't help you on that at all.
Did you have, did you or any of your family have anything to do with the urban renewal per se of anything here?
Well, no. You mean when they
cleared it out?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
No. In fact, I was the only one of my family left by that time.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that was a positive move or a negative move? How do you?
I have mixed emotions about that. Sometimes I think it was just a move to get all those people who lived in that area somewhere else. I really don't know. And since I didn't have any relatives or close friends or anybody there, you know, it probably didn't affect me like it would have if I had had some closer connection with it. Of course, some of the things in that area had changed because when the old folk died, the young ones were not interested any longer in keeping them up. I guess the area was not the same since I've been old as it was when I was growing up as a child, or maybe I just wasn't aware of it. I really don't know.
So then you'd agree that basically the black businesses had faded out by the time the renewal
came?
Well,
many of them, those that I knew as a child, were gone because of what I said, the old folk. And then, of course, by the time they got around to this urban renewal, segregation had gone, and that made a difference. Like, for instance, the black restaurants, you know, that has been the case in many places aside from Winnegar Hill. When integration came, people began patronizing a different type of restaurant from what the blacks could afford.
Could you tell me something about your school, the schools you went to here?
Well, the school over there, the school that I attended as a child has been demolished. But it was over there on 4th Street, right across from King's. And that only had 7 grades. And when you finished those 7, that was as far as black school goes, Charlesville. You had go someplace to a boarding school for your high school education. Then when I finished the 7th grade here, I went to Petersburg to what was then known as the Virginia Normal and Industrial Institute, having changed hands from Virginia Collegiate. And of course, you know now it's Virginia State University. I finished normal school there in 21. And after I had taught 4 years. I married and stopped teaching for 9 years. Then I went back to teaching again. When I went back to teaching, I also went back to school. My oldest daughter and I graduated from college together. Mm-hmm. We were the first to do that at Virginia State. Of course, it's a very common occurrence now. And of course, while I was teaching, I attended summer school regularly to keep up with what was going on. Then by the time integration came at the university, I took a few courses.
What did you teach at school?
I taught 30 years in Altamont County and 18 in the city of Charlottesville.
A lot of the questions here on here really wouldn't apply.
I was afraid of that, but because I have children and grandchildren, if there was any little thing that I could do to help anybody else, I wanted you to know that I was willing to do it, but I was afraid that I wouldn't be very much help.
Well, you've been a lot, you are a lot of help, though, really, because I had the thing about the barbershop, I had been hearing bits and pieces, I never found the stories full, you know, as one I've got.
Because it doesn't matter, I mean, it doesn't really matter right now about the questions. You really give some helpful information. See, everybody we've gone to, we've just asked them what, it's important what you know. Mm-hmm. And everybody's little piece helps towards the big piece.
Yeah.
You know, so anything that we've gotten from anyone is helpful. Because a lot of people tell us, I can't help you, but it is helpful, you know, mm-hmm. in a big way.
Right, you see, you know what you're looking for.
Really.
It's in with some other little thing, and that helps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, the whole thing that we're trying to do is to kind of recap the history of Vinegar Hill and the area, not necessarily just Vinegar Hill, but everything involved, everyone, you know, involved with Vinegar Hill businesses, people that live in or around the area. And like I said, we were are very much interested in people with families, whose families owned or worked with black businesses.
Well, when I was a child, a large number of black people owned property just off of, on what is now Water Street and South Street. All those houses in there belonged to black people. And then they eventually sold them and moved away from that area. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. The people who used to live next door to me moved from that area up here to this street. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm the only person in this street now who was here.
Did you know the Jacksons when you were young?
It's Ms. Walker's parents.
Mm-hmm.
William Jackson.
I guess that would be the one. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some of them grew up with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I've known these. They live in this street ever since they moved up here. Mm-hmm. As children. When the Delta Lincoln High School and displaced them.
Mm-hmm.
How did most blacks spend their leisure times here? Let's say during Vinegar Hills.
Well, now speaking for myself, we families were a great thing when I was growing up. We spent a lot of our leisure time in the neighborhood. Neighbors were close, and we didn't have parks. We didn't have playgrounds. We owned that vacant lot over there, and as I told somebody the other day, I said, we had a mini park before you all ever knew what mini parks were, because mm-hmm. we had a flower garden, we played croquet and ball, and as I said, the whole neighborhood, we played together. Then we had house parties. Lots of times we had them here at our house, so we'd go to the houses of our friends. And our parents were very liberal. We could have them as often as they thought wise, and that seemed to be quite often enough mm-hmm. for us. Then we had a lot of activities in our churches. And we went in for plays and things of that sort. I think our leisure time was well spent and enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
course, in those days, all over where the city yard is now was just one big, big, vacant place, and we had lots of snow when I was a child. All the friends and neighbors had lots of fun over there coasting. And down in the bottom, there was a branch, and when that froze over, there were ice skaters. And we thought we had a very good time.
Paint a very vivid picture. I'm actually.
Go ahead. You can't visualize that as being very.
Yeah, it sounds like no. Yeah.
Well, most people, when you ask them about what they did for leisure, well, some say the men tell you about Vinegar Hill and hanging out on the street and the pool room and so forth, but nobody, you know, actually tells you what they did, like you just said. I think that's why you're sitting there in awe.
Well, you see, I had one brother, mm-hmm. but he was younger than I am. So he never was in what they called the people who hung out on Vinegar Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And my father, in those days, barbers worked long hours. Mm-hmm. And by the time he finished with his day, I don't think he had any desire to hang out in the pool rooms either.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a matter of what you like.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said before, my father was, he was a great father. So was my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had such a great family life that nobody was ever looking for any place to spend his leisure hours.
That's the
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Mm-hmm.
How many brothers and sisters?
Well, I only have one sister now, one sister and one brother, and I have two. I have lost two sisters.
Was that a fairly small family for that time?
No, I guess that was about an average family for that time, because lots of my friends came from families that were quite as large, and in some cases larger. I knew several.
Twins in there?
Hmm?
Any twins or triplets in there?
No. 13 single birds.
My goodness. She was busy.
She wasn't.
I love.
They lived in the country and they lived on a large farm. They seemed to have gotten along very well.
I can imagine. 13, my goodness. I guess after everybody was grown, she finally had a chance to sit back and rest.
No, she did what was commonly done in those days. By the time the last one was grown, she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's okay.
No, well, is there anything else you'd like? I don't know, but I know.
Well, what we'll do is we'll give you a number you can call, and if you think of something, you know, sometime that you think maybe we'll be interested in, if you could call us, you know, it's going to be really good.